This baby changes everything. And indeed, that is the case. And so on the stage here with me this evening, I have with me a nativity set. And I just want to kind of run through the things that we've learned real quickly. But we're going to go backwards this time. So we're going to start here with the ones we talked about yesterday, which was the wise men and the shepherds over here. And they came as watchmen that were looking and listening for what God had for them to do. And then they become the witnesses, the first witnesses of the baby Jesus to the world. The shepherds going to the lowest of the low and the wise men going to the highest of the high. God hit the high and the low with the witness of who Jesus Christ was. Then as we look in a little farther, we see there's a man in here, his name is Joseph, and we all know Joseph to be the husband of Mary, the adopted father of the baby Jesus. And there is one here that is not present, and we talked about him being the innkeeper who made room for these people in this stable, but there was no room in his inn, in the place where humans would abide. And so he said, why don't you step out here? And we talked about the idea that I think maybe after the fact he felt like he was a little bit let down because he should have made room in his place. And so we talked about making room in our lives for the people God sends our way. There are also two that are not here, but they are the cousins of Mary, the one we're going to talk about tonight. But the cousins of Mary, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were barren. She could not have children. And as a result of that barrenness, it was kind of a lifeless life until God made a difference in their life and brought life out of barrenness. And we saw that God can bring life out of barren places in our lives, places that are dead and dying and are troubled. And God can bring life on those places. That's been the story of the last about 4 weeks that we've been walking through as a church. And tonight, we're going to come to the very center of this nativity where we see the baby Jesus and Mary right here. And we're going to look at this woman whose name is Mary and the baby in the manger here, which probably is not born yet. But we want to hear Mary's story. So if you will take your attention and move it to the screens, we'll listen to the story of Mary.
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but, well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth, never has. That angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me, and that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. When Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
I think we can say that Mary believed, can't we? She understood what was going on, and you know this story well. You've heard it tonight, you've heard it many times, but we'll review it here quickly. The angel came to Mary and said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." You will conceive and give birth to a son without the aid of a human father. Never been done before, never been done since. An impossible feat. And so Mary, in her own believing way, says, "How can that happen? This doesn't make any sense." And we would say the same thing. If one of your daughters came home to you tonight and says, "God has impregnated me," you would say, "Right. Now tell me who the father is." Because it's an impossible thing. And so she says, "How come?" And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." That is the third person of the Trinity. God in spirit form will come upon you. And the power of the Most High, that is God Almighty, will overshadow you. And the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Son of Mary and Son of God. Is it any wonder that the angel goes on to say this, "For nothing will be impossible for God"? Maybe you tonight are suffering from an impossible situation. There's something going on in your life and you just cannot figure out how this is ever going to be made right. It says here that nothing is impossible for God. So you might try giving it to him tonight and leaving it in his hands, which are much more capable than any human hands could possibly be. And then Mary says this to this angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Indeed. Talk about belief. Talk about the knowledge that something was going to happen and you can't explain it, and how am I going to explain this to mom and dad, and how is this going to work, and I don't know. I can't see beyond the step I'm going to take, which is right here. I love the way she says it. She says, "I just kept staring at this baby who was my Redeemer, who was my God, but yet my son. And nothing is impossible with God." So as I thought about this, I thought, well, what do we need to know about that? Well, let's turn to a different passage. This is out of the book of Colossians. Not a normal Christmas passage, but it does explain some things to us. Notice this verse says that Christ, this baby, Jesus, was the visible image of the invisible God. God can't be seen, but yet God is seen in this baby that was in the womb of Mary, born this evening, and as we see, is in the feeding trough. And it says here that he existed before anything was created and that he was supreme over all creation. In other words, he existed with God, as God, before anything was ever made. God's plan was that through him, everything would be created in heaven and on earth. Think about that a minute. This baby, this Son of God, Son of Mary, is the one who made the stars and called them by name and put them in their places, created this earth, created every person that would ever populate this earth, put them into place at the right time, at the right moment, and that is who is within this mother, Mary, and who is the baby. And then God says, for God in all his fullness. So I have trouble with this, because I have trouble with seeing God as, I see him as huge. And yet he says he was pleased with, in all his fullness, to live inside of Christ, inside this itty bitty baby. And to grow inside this baby till he became a man. And then it says, and through him God reconciled himself, everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This baby came into existence for one purpose only. This Christ was born as a baby that he may die on a cross sometime later. The purpose? To reconcile God to humanity. Why? Because when Adam was here, Adam sinned the great sin. And that one sin that Adam did separated all of humanity from God. Huge chasm between all of humanity and God. And God says, I don't want that. I want to reconcile this. I want to bring fallen humanity to me. And so he came and became a baby, took on human flesh, died and paid for the sin of all men by his blood, and brought men near to God, if they will receive him. If they will accept the terms of the agreement, which is, if you will take my blood as your payment for your sin, then you will be saved. You will accept it. You will receive it. You receive the offer, the gift that is made for you. You see, this is what this baby did. This baby changed everything. In the book of Matthew, it says, and she will have a son, and you are to name his name Jesus. The name Jesus means, for he will save his people from their sin. He will save his people. He will save humanity. Those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. So we were sitting today having our Christmas meal, because our family has been together and now they are starting to leave tomorrow. And so we had our Christmas meal today, and my granddaughter made PlayStations, and at Thanksgiving time she made these things and had all funny things to do inside of them, and this time she made our names, and then inside there was something we were to read, and I want to read what she placed inside of mine. She says, Merry Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is Christmas. It's a statement of Christmas. That's what this is. And tonight we are going to take time to have a candlelighting service. And I just want to remind you, this is not a time for warm fuzzies. It feels really good when we do this, okay? And we all feel like, yeah, that was really cool. We like that. But the point of a candlelighting service is not just the warm fuzzy, the way it makes us feel, not the emotions. It's part of it. But part of it has to do with the fact that this light that each of you will light, okay, represents the light within your soul that Jesus Christ brings. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have said, I want you to pay for my sin, I can't do it, I want you to come and do that for me, and I want to have a relationship with you, I want to come to you and be your son or your daughter and have that friendship that we need, then that light is real. That this visible light is simply the reflection of what's inside you coming out. If you have never, ever asked Christ to do that, if you've never said to him, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sin, I want to be with you. If you've never said that, made it personal. Many people know this story. Some people have never made it personal. If you've never made it personal, my suggestion is right now, you just say, Lord, in your heart, I believe you are the Son of God. And then confess out loud, I believe that you died for my sins and that I want to be in relationship with you. And then that light that you're going to light, that candlelight you're going to light tonight, is going to represent the new life that is now within you. That Jesus living within you. Because you see, it says when we trust Christ as our Savior, that the Holy Spirit, the one who is within this baby, comes and lives within each one of us. And his light shines out of our eyes and comes out of our mouths and comes through our hands and our fingers and our bodies. And we start to shine like a candle. So this evening, we're going to do that. And so would you just bow with me in prayer as we approach this time of reflection? Father God, we are so thankful. We're so thankful that you came in the fullness of God in this little bitty baby. From the very point of conception to the time when he was born into this world, you were within this baby. Thank you, Jesus, for putting on our form and being like us. We worship you for that. And Lord, we confess that we believe you are the Son of God and that you have died for our sins, and we ask that you would be part of our lives and bring us into that relationship with you that only you can do. Only you can save us, Lord. We just turn by grace through faith to you. Lord, would you meet us here as we take time to light these candles? And as we do that, Father, may we reflect on what a holy night this was. In Jesus' name, amen.